Hey, everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This is a podcast from our summer leadership training school. Hope you enjoy.
All right, take us away.
I wasn't ready, but now I am. Thank you, Ben.
Let's go, Chase.
Guys, that is so fun. Do you guys realize how rare it is what we just celebrated?
Yes.
So many people got saved yesterday. How many of you guys, this is one of the first times, I know Ben just said it, but just for me, how many? This is like one of the first times that you went out, like, I'm just going to share the gospel for the next couple hours. It's like one of the first times you've ever done that. Keep your hands up. Because I know we're, keep your hand like up for just a second. Because I know we're celebrating, you know, that reaping moment. Because heaven does. We know what the Bible says in Luke 15. One sinner turns back to God, that all of heaven rejoices over one, right? Yeah. But what I'm seeing right now with all these hands raised is that this is one of the first times you've ever done this. And that many people got touched. Could you imagine this becoming a lifestyle? Because
yeah.
We're all stirred up in the place of unity, hunger. We're doing it together, right? But what if yesterday was like the starting point where this becomes a lifestyle of sharing the gospel?
Yeah.
And whether we have a big celebration moment or not, we know that heaven is rejoicing every single time somebody's turning to Christ. I'm just so blown away, so encouraged. I know you've heard it from a lot of us, but this school is just so wildly hungry for God. It is just enjoyable to come into a room with you guys because there's no convincing. There's no like working. It's like I walk in 1 minute early, and already it's like there's a bananas worship crazy thing happening. I just feel like it's been so enjoyable to go after Jesus with you guys these last 6 days. And how many of you guys are like, how can it only be 6 days? I'm pretty sure I've lived in Dallas for a year now.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you go after God with a hungry group of people, how much can happen in a short amount of time. Well, guys, I'm so excited. We're going to keep going on the cultures of the Circuit Riders this morning. What's some of your favorite cultures so far? What's been like this rocking your world from these mornings? What's one of your favorite things we've hit so far?
Humility.
Humility.
Yeah.
Love.
Love.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Okay. Anything else over here?
Surrendered heart.
Surrendered heart. How many of you guys are like, I've gotten so much in 6 days?
Yes.
That I'm glad there's a podcast. I'm glad I'll. Maybe am I telling the truth? These are all recorded, right? How many of you guys, I need to go listen because after 15 minutes, I was so dazed after what Nick said after 15 minutes on forgiveness. I couldn't even listen to the next 45 because I was forgiving 14 people that were just bound up. I'm telling you, some of these culture moments, that'll happen. So we're going to keep going though. I'm super excited this morning. We're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. We are going to talk about the culture of happy holiness. Everybody say happy holiness.
Happy holiness.
And give me a smile. Some of you are. Sometimes, okay, this is funny. Sometimes the word or the culture of holiness is mentioned. And I feel like sometimes our church culture, not across the board, but sometimes when holiness is mentioned, we kind of get like a sad face. We kind of get a little discouraged, like, oh, we're talking about holiness today. This is where I get 17 spankings. And at the end of all of those, I'm supposed to feel bad about how not holy I am. We want to reframe today, anywhere that it's needed, reframe today the privilege and the excitement of the happy, holy life that every Christian is invited into. We have got to take back ground where the enemy wants to dilute and distort the word holiness. We want to take back ground this morning to say that holiness is one of the greatest privileges of the Christian life. Why is that so, Chase? Because without holiness, none will see God. We did a baptism of the what spirit? How many of you guys were encouraged being filled by the Holy Spirit? How many of you guys enjoy walking in the presence of God? How many of you guys enjoy deeper friendship with Jesus? All of us across the board. So the life of holiness is not a life of drudgery or, oh, what a bummer, I have to repent. Oh, I can't believe I had. The life of holiness is a truly happy and joyful life. I'm going to prove that to you. You guys ready? Okay, I want to do two things as an intro, and then we're going to have some fun. But I want to say two things about holiness from just a biblical perspective before we jump in. Is there's two sides of the coin. The first thing I want to say is that you are positionally holy before the Father. What I mean is this, is that when you said yes to Jesus and you are now in Christ, that your position and your standing before the Father is no longer a standing of one filled by sin. He doesn't look down and say, oh man, they fell short. No, when you say yes to Jesus and you are in Christ, the Corinthians promise is that he became sin who knew no sin, that we would be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is really good news that when we stand before the Father, we aren't represented by ourselves anymore.
Amen.
That your position is not determined by your performance.
Amen.
That your position is not determined by, like, did you have a good day yesterday or the last week or the month before? It's not an earning our position in Christ. That's the beauty of the gospel. It's a free gift of salvation, right? So your position before the Father, who is holy, who is without spot or blemish, your position, as Ephesians says, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of you guys are encouraged that you are seated in heavenly places? So I want you to know that your position before the Father, you've got to know that everything we're talking about today, you can't miss this. Otherwise, the happy holiness message becomes a striving, robotic message of how much more you can look like Jesus in your own strength. That cannot be the motivation. The motivation of the happy, holy life is a motivation of endless gratitude that because of the work of Jesus and the finished work of the cross, we are now positionally washed clean before the Father. And now we live a life of response to this holy, perfect God that has loved us so perfectly. How could we not throw up everything that hinders to know Him in greater measure? So first thing, you are positionally holy before the Father because of the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus. Okay, everyone good with that? However, how many of you guys know that we don't necessarily live a perfect day from sunrise to sunset every day? How many of you would say there's a little bit of a gap still between my position in Christ and maybe how I'm living on the daily? That though I am positionally washed, there is room for me to grow and become more like Jesus. Guys, this is good news. What I'm talking about today is not primarily going to be your position in Christ. We've talked a lot about the gospel. I more just wanted to set the bedrock. Because if we miss that point, everything we're talking about can become religious and performance. I don't want that to happen today. At the same time, the journey of sanctification, which is what we're talking about. Everyone say sanctification.
Sanctification.
This is one of the most exciting journeys of the Christian life. Because it's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit from now until the day we die and pass into glory that allows us to discover more and more of Jesus. It allows us to become more and more fashioned to His character. It allows us to become more and more fashioned to the way He walked on the earth. The sanctification journey led by the Holy Spirit is one of the most exciting journeys of the Christian life. And we're going to go after it today, okay? Now, a few things that might help paint the picture a little bit. When I realized that I might have a chance with Lindy. No, let's go Christmas 2015 real quick. When I realized that door may not even be unlocked or slightly cracked, but at least the light was on in the other room. And I was like, there might be a chance. It might be 0.01%, but that's not zero. She's single. I'm single. Great. That is a great starting place, isn't it? There's some other stories we can get into, but there might be a chance. I I wonder if I should just kind of tiptoe towards that chance. And maybe I'll beat around the bush for 5 months. Maybe I'll talk to a few other girls and keep my options open. I'll see, but not really see. Some of you are getting so bothered already. It's a fake story. It's not what happened. Or I pray. Wasn't a long prayer. I'm just looking for, Lord, can I at least have an opportunity? I feel a green light. I'm not going to recheck that one. I'll say that's the Holy Spirit. I text a leader. I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about going for it. Brian Britt's response to me, clear path to the lane. Why not dunk it? True story. True story. True story. So, taking you Christmas. I'm going to draw it back into holiness. Don't worry. It's going to connect. You got to build the story, right, for it to connect. Jesus taught in parables. It helped connect. Okay. Lindy goes on a trip. She's gone for 4 days, right? This is Christmas. I've had the prayer time, had the text. I'm convinced I'm going for it. So she gets back from the trip. Little do I know that she has told the Lord he has 4 days. He has 4 days to say something or I'm moving on. Little does she know, I didn't need more than 1 day. Okay. Okay. Amen. Altar call. Altar call. We're sidetracking. We're going to have an altar call for bold men to rise up to the occasion. Just kidding. I'm in a meeting in the office. I'm in the eating. I'm so distracted because I'm like, I got a chance. I don't even remember what the meeting was about, bands or Carry the Love or something that just seemed so unimportant. I'm supposed to go preach a message, practice preaching. You guys have been doing that in the messenger track. Have you guys done that?
Yeah.
About to? I'm supposed to go practice a message. I get there. I look at my friends and I say, hold on a second, because I knew she was leaving the office. I half jog, half book it. I say, Lindy, wait. I'm running. And she's like, why is he jogging towards me? He seems like this is urgent. This is important. It seems like nothing else matters to him. I've got to get the answer to a question. Lindy, this Christmas has been amazing. I know we have a great friendship, but I want to take you on a real date. Oh, yeah. And then it gets better for me. Lindy's got a great smile, but that smile hit when I said that. I knew that smile hit. I said, oh, there's more than a chance. And because there's a chance, and there was a yes to that question, there was a big absolutely yes. Do you think that I was hesitating? Do you think that I needed to be convinced to get ready for that date the next night? Did I need to be convinced to get flowers, to get a card, to get a gift, to get the nicest restaurant, to spend more money than I had? Did I need to be convinced? I'm not saying do things weird. We were friends for 5 years, all right? I was breaking the friend mode. But in my relationship with Lindy, if I had gone half-hearted, do you think that that relationship was going to develop any further? If I had gone, well, first date, which went amazing, it was amazing, but I just want to make sure after a few months that, man, marriage, big commitment, she's the one, I really want to make sure I'm going to go take another girl out on a few dates.
What?
Now, some of you are getting mad. This didn't happen, guys. Don't worry. But could you imagine the storyline? I'm going to start dating somebody else. I'm going to just figure this out. Now, I've had a few friends, not myself. I won't name any. that have been in more of the exploring phase, not quite convinced, can I tell you that it did not work out good for that friend when there was more than one other relationship involved? Yet oftentimes in Christianity, do we not treat Jesus? It's going good for a couple months. But sometimes I miss my old life a little bit. And instead of clear path to the lane, dunk it. And I'm going to dunk it all day long. I'm going to go for it with all of my heart. We say, I'm just going to dabble in another relationship. I'm just going to dabble in my old life. I'm going to see how close to the line I can get without breaking relationship with Jesus, still having it. How close to the world's line can I get? I don't need to convince this room. This room is already convinced of this, but can I say it out loud and can we carry this message for a generation? It's never about how close to the line of sin in the world you can get and still having a relationship with Jesus. No. The heart motivation is, I've never seen somebody so glorious and beautiful as Jesus. Take the world, take any area of sin. I'm running as far from the line as I possibly can because I want as deep of a relationship with the living God this side of eternity that I can possibly have. This is not something that stops when you say yes to Jesus. When me and Lindy got married, August 20, 2016, my pursuit of Lindy cannot stop. If it is, I have a shallow, immature view of her and of love and our relationship. I'm not saying I've done it perfect, but when I get a true picture of like, oh my gosh, I'm married to Lindy. She's so incredible. There's so many things I could go on and on and on this morning. And when I set my heart to pursuing her with all that I am, the only thing it does is cause our relationship to grow and grow, to love to get deeper and deeper, and for our relationship to get more and more enjoyable. The holy life, guys, the holy invitation from Jesus, this is the centerpiece. This is the core of the joy in your relationship with Jesus. Let me explain to this, okay? You come into a worship time, set your life on Jesus, but week before, totally biffed, slid back into your old life, and you chose an old life, because we choose it. It's your engaged will. We do choose it. Have you ever been, you try to go front row and lift your hands just like you did the week before, but you know you got unconfessed sin? You know you were looking at things on the computer you shouldn't have been? I love you, Jesus! But I know I kind of do.
Come on. Period. Talk about it.
I didn't totally choose you. But then you confess to a friend, you get back on track. And then when you go in, it's like, oh, I'm a totally different person. I'm back on the holy life. The joy is authentic. The worship is authentic. You don't have a divided heart between Jesus and the world. You have eyes fixed on Him. And when your eyes are fixed on Him, the Holy Spirit can then develop your relationship with Him because He is a Holy Spirit. A lot of times our generation gets an improper view of grace. The grace of the Lord is an endless ocean. I love that song by Jonathan Helster. It's endless. There is no end to the grace of God. But when grace is active in your life, it should lead you to a more holy life that looks more like Jesus. Otherwise, it's not grace, it's permission to sin, and that's never what God gave. Paul was so clear in Romans, because of the grace, should I go on sinning? By no means! Somebody should write a message. By no means! How can we? Okay, I'm going to go a little more. I'm almost done my introduction. We'll get into it. I'm almost there. You guys catching the rhythm of today? Do you think, I'm taking this from Andy Bird. A lot of my notes are from Andy Bird. He's got great messages on this. But do you think when the angels and the elders in Revelation 4, it says day and night, this is Revelation 4:8, they're crying out day and night. They are crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's what they do all day long. I said this in the last school. Do you think it's like a jukebox where it's like, okay, guys, your turn, do it again. Holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty. Oh, it's been 2,000 years. Don't take a break. Let's go. Do it again. Holy, holy, holy. No way! I think it's much more like we are seen with unveiled eyes. The uncreated God in perfect splendor and beauty and majesty. And He makes one tiny move, and everything inside of me cannot help it but cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It's when you get a glimpse of who He really is, everything inside of you will tremble and shake and shout and sing and glorify. There is no one like Him. Holy, holy, holy. It will never get boring in heaven, guys. Think about the moments. It might have happened for you this week where you first encountered the love of Christ or the power and majesty of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget at 19 years old when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I did not want to move an inch. All I wanted to say was, "More!
Yeah.
Show me more! You're greater than anything I've ever tasted. I've got to know more." And so then it wasn't convincing. It wasn't religious drudgery the next day to say, "Hey, Chase, we're going to talk about getting free of pride." I wasn't like, "Oh, I really like holding on to my pride. I enjoy my name and my reputation." It was like, "Have it! Can I have more of Him? Oh, I really enjoy living in my fear of man, afraid to talk to leaders, afraid to approach people. No way! I can discover Jesus, experience His holiness in evangelism, sharing the gospel. Have my fear! I've got to know Him!" How many of you guys, did you guys see the joy this morning? How many hands were up? How many of you guys, even when you got rejected, you're like, "I've never done that before." And you felt the pleasure of God because you were stepping into what you were created to be. The holy life is the inheritance of every believer on the earth. And anybody who says other words is lying to you. I'm telling you guys, any time that I've had hidden sin, any time that I've backslidden, any time that I have not said yes to a wholehearted pursuit of Jesus out of revelation of who He is, my life and my relationship with God is never where I want it to be. I always have an inner sense of there is more. What am I doing? I've got to get after the there is more. So we're going to go after that today. And we're going to look at a few commands in the scriptures for us to be holy. Okay, just to drive it home, to let you know that I'm not making this up. The Bible agrees with this. Hebrews 10:10 says this, or 10:14 says this about Jesus. "For by a single offering, He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." This is my favorite verse when you see the positional perfection, the righteousness in Christ, and at the same time, those who have been saved, your position in Jesus, you are being sanctified and being made holy for the rest of your time on earth. And that's an exciting journey, okay? Next verse, just so you see that this is an invitation, it's an attainable one. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses starting in 13. You guys ready? It says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." Everyone say, "Do not be conformed." This is a quick comment. If He is commanding new covenant believers, do not be conformed, Peter is very aware that there will be a temptation to be conformed back to our old life. He is very aware and probably had seen it where the temptation to go back to the old, more comfortable, safer way of life would have been very, very possible. Especially for new church believers, because back then, when you said yes to Jesus, you were really putting your life on the line. So Peter is urging, don't go back to your old way of life. Don't go back to it. Let's keep going. Verse 15. "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy."
Amen.
Here's the question I want to propose. Do you think that Jesus would ask us to do something that was unattainable?
Come on.
Do you think it would be a sadistic game for Him to say, "Hey, be holy like me, but you'll never actually be holy like me"?
Wow.
Or do you think in the grace of the Holy Spirit that we can actually learn and develop and grow into an overcoming holy life? Maybe the scripture founded on the gospel, the grace and the goodness of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, is an invitation for you to live an overcoming holy life all of your days. And I'm telling you, by the Holy Spirit, it is totally possible. Those freedom moments that you experienced this week, they're not hype, they're not emotion, they are real. And I can only say that because 15 years since that encounter with God, when I was 19, there were sin patterns that were legitimately broken in a moment. And that's not to say, wow, Chase, you must just have a lot of grit. No, I say, the Holy Spirit is really kind. And Jesus is very beautiful. And pursuing Him became far more enjoyable than anything else I had ever experienced. I wanted nothing to do with some of those old sin patterns. And I feel like the permission slip today is permission to run as wild after Jesus as your heart wants to. I would rather get to the end of my life and say, people say, he was too charismatic. He was too emotional. He was too crazy. I think he was religious, wanting to cut out those movies. Oh, here comes religious Chase. Never wants to listen to that music anymore. No, I only have so much time. I just enjoy fixing my eyes on Jesus rather than having a debate about what music's okay or not. Even the debate itself becomes like a religious deal. It bores me to death. When I just go, this side of eternity, I'm not going to sit here and judge you if it's like, you know, you just listen to classical music, great. But this side of eternity, I just want to know, how much of Jesus can I get to know? So that when I show up in eternity, be like, I saw that! Wow. Yes. I saw that piece of Jesus when I was 21 years old. And I grabbed a hold of it. There He is! There He is! He's as loving as I experienced at 19 years old when He melted my heart. And I cried for the first time in 5 years. He's that loving. I knew it. I saw that picture of Him. I grabbed a hold of it. I ran after it with all that's in me. This is the invitation I feel today, is that we need a generation. We need young people, young leaders like yourself, myself, that would blow the trumpet that holiness is a privilege, that holiness is happy, that holiness is joy, and that compromise stinks. It doesn't mean that we don't set the table for forgiveness and coming back to Jesus. But we want to set a standard of what is attainable in Jesus by the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God. That you can run zealously. That you can be free of porn. That you can live a sexually pure life. There are so many lies in this generation that say, you'll never, you can't, Gen Z. There's so many things that say you cannot live a set apart holy life, and it's all a bunch of baloney. I am going to expose it. A lot of times, though, this is the key right here. You have to engage your will. And this is not religion. To engage your will is a key to living the overcoming, happy, holy life. Growing up, guys, I had an issue with pornography. Introduced the wrong way, sad story, the whole stuff, right? Tons of sin. At 19, I had repented, confessed my sin, confessed where I'd fallen short. I was in my DTS. I felt liberated. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, though. I mean, just like some of y'all did last on Thursday night, filled. I knew I was a different man. But a few weeks later, I felt an invitation from the Holy Spirit, Chase, give your computer away. And I said, Lord, my parents got me a brand new MacBook Pro for college. They're not going to be stoked if I give this thing away. No, can we get real about how it actually works? And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. And it was in one of those, we had these really generous YM times and everyone's giving stuff away, like guitars and stuff. It was crazy. And I feel this, I was like, I'm supposed to give it to my school leader. So I was like, dang. All right, I go, hey man, this is crazy. I feel like I'm supposed to give you my MacBook Pro. Well, bonus, he freaks out. He's like, no way, I've been praying for this exact model for like a year and a half. This is crazy. Give him the computer. Graduate DTS. I go back to college after my DTS. How many of you guys know it's a lot easier to do school with a computer, right? I prayed. I felt no permission to get one. And you know what's funny is it wasn't a hard decision. For my first year and a half or 2 years, I can't remember exactly how long, back at school, I did all of my papers. I did all of my studies at the public library.
Wow.
He said, I am not going to open the door back where Jesus has instilled a victory so deep. Don't cheer for me. This is the Holy Spirit's leadership. Saying, I know how prone you are, Chase, because of your history and your past. So now I'm going to help upset, not religious boundaries. Psalms talks about the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Can I tell you that the joy was erupting in my heart? Because I knew I had gained a victory by the Holy Spirit that I could not have gone without Him. And then I had said yes to the practical implications of walking out in that victory. Guys, I went so much deeper in the Word and prayer and worship those 2 years, I can't even explain. It changed my life. I use that example because sometimes in holiness, it always comes down to, you know, sexual sin, and we'll go after that. It is real. But it's in all areas. Maybe you're prone to just thinking of yourself all the time. Holiness isn't just about what you cut out. It's about what you do. James makes it really clear. He knows what he should do and doesn't do it since. The holy life is about an activated Christian life. Maybe you're not very generous. And you're like, I don't have much money to give. And the Lord's like, I know, I want to train you to be generous when you have little, so that way when I give you much, you're still generous. Generosity is part of holiness. Start giving when you don't have much. Man, people don't even know. I just gave that guy, that was my last dollars for a hamburger tonight. All of a sudden, someone's like, hey, can I buy you a hamburger? Wow, Lord, you provided in my generosity. The holy life is exciting.
Yes.
It's case after case where I want to encourage you. I just want to put deep in your heart that the holy life truly is happy. This isn't a Circuit Rider slogan. This is the life that Jesus modeled. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There is an underlying joy. There's an underlying happiness when you are in obedience to Christ that will take you through any test or trial. Holiness is an anchor. Got a few more minutes. You guys got a few more minutes in you?
Yeah.
And some people would say, man, Old Testament God was intense, but New Testament Jesus, he's so kind, so gentle, so loving. Can I read you a verse that Jesus said? He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Hasn't changed. Always hated sin. Always loved the sinner. This is who he is. He loves every time a sinner turns to him. But he has always hated sin. Because there is no spot in him. Side note on holiness. This is part of the Hebrew word and Greek word. When you study it, a few interpretations. It's a longer time than we have right now. But there's kind of two views on it. One is that it was like perfectly pure. So when you hear the word holy, it's like, it's perfectly pure. There's no spot. There's nothing wrong in it, which is totally true. But there's another side of holiness, which means it's separate than or other than. Meaning the holy things in the temple, right? They were separate from the common people. They were separate from common things, and they were set apart for what? For a special purpose. So when you hear the word holy, it meant sometimes they were separated for a special purpose. And when you hear the most holy, it's the most separated, the most special thing, right? Quick note on holy, just so that we can paint a picture of how exciting it is to pursue a holy God. There's only one word in the scriptures that are repeated 3 times. And in Hebrew culture, when you repeated a word, it was adding emphasis to what you were saying. So instead of saying most holy, they would have been like, holy, holy, to say, hey, this is really holy. Or to say, hey, that was a powerful, salvation testimony. It'd be like, that's powerful, powerful. That was good, good. Are you catching it? That was Hebrew culture. Did you know there's only 2 times in Scripture and 1 word? It's repeated 3 times. It's Isaiah 6 and it's Revelation. And it's when we get a picture of God Himself. The only one that is holy, holy, holy is God Himself. He is completely other than. He is completely more beautiful. He is completely more glorious. He is endlessly wonderful to discover. The holy life is the endless pursuit and discovery of what your heart is most made for. It's exciting, isn't it? Back to Matthew 5. Let's see what Jesus says. Because sometimes I think we approach sin too lightly. We need to get a little bit more violent. I don't know, guys. I'd rather win. I'd rather be victorious in life. I'd rather not get taken out in 30 years. I don't want to, I don't know about you, but so many leaders, let's just get real time, in the last number of years have fallen. Tons of reasons why, I'm not going to get into all of them. But could we see a generation so committed to happy holiness that when the temptations of the evil one come, we'll say, no, 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 I found something far more beautiful. I'm not going to ruin my marriage and family because I allowed a secret sin to develop in my life, even in the midst of marriage, even in the midst of dating. I'm going to deal with it now so that in 30 years, when I've got a family and four kids and I'm leading this ministry or I'm leading this business or I'm doing this, there is no opportunity for compromise to sneak in. I've already cut it off way back in 2022 in Dallas. Yeah. I said, I'm establishing something in my life that says I will not let it fester. And I think this is the way Jesus says, verse 27, this is a familiar thing, but I want us to see how wildly violent Jesus was about getting sin out of our life. Jesus said, you heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus took the laws of the Old Testament and he went another, he just went a whole other level. He went to the heart level of everything. He says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Do I think that Jesus actually asked us to pluck out our eyes and cut up our hand? No. But if it was going to keep us out of sin, I think he's saying it's worth it. Jesus is saying whatever it costs for those areas of sin that have jurisdiction in your heart, in your life, where there's open doors, where the enemy has a stronghold, Jesus is saying don't pet that thing. Don't pretend like you can beat that thing. Don't act like in your flesh or in your strength you're going to be able to overcome. Cut it off. Run to the blood of Jesus. Get set free and get established in a holy life. I just think we need to have a violence towards the enemy and a violence towards known areas of sin that we know about in our own heart. And this should bring a ton of joy to our lives. Typically, the happiest people that I know, that I'm close friends with integrity, I feel like the happiest, most joyful people I know who have grabbed a hold of this message of happy holiness and pursued it with all of their heart. Yeah, and a lot of times, I feel like leaders, people we see drifting, falling away, deconstructing, there's an area of unforgiveness, of offense, there's an area of sexual sin, there's something that always comes out later. We said, I didn't want to cut it off, I kind of liked my sin. And I wanted to build a whole theology and a whole compartment about why it was okay, rather than obey the Bible. So then I start to tell you, is the Bible really infallible? Just because I don't like something it says, and rather being conformed to what it says, I want you to conform to my emotions and my experience, when in reality, this will never fall. Your sin, your emotions, your experience must come under what this says. And I know you already know that because we talked about the power of the Bible. I'm almost done, and then we can pray through some things. Okay, can I show you just a few things? It's a list. It's a long list. We're not going to go after all this. I just want you to show you that there's a list. I'm going to end on this thing, and then I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead. I have a few things written out I want us just to repent of, to clear out as a crew corporately, just to say yes to a happy, holy life. But I want to give you a list. If you're just like, Chase, I don't want just a few. Give me the whole thing. My heart's getting lit on fire these 10 days, and I want everything Jesus wants to establish. I want to know, how can I run after a happy, holy life? What can I clear out so that I can then say yes? Because remember, it's clearing out, but then the other half of the battle is how you then walk out your relationship with Jesus, right? But Paul's writing to Timothy, his son in the Lord, and he says this, but understand, this is chapter 3, verse 1, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. We could go the rest of the time right there. Beware when you become the center point and the center part of the storyline of everything in your life. If the things you dream about have you at the center more than Jesus, beware. Trust me, guilty. My 20-somethings, it was me preaching on stage every single time. And it was more about me preaching on stage than it was about a move of God and Jesus getting his glory. Beware of becoming a lover of the self. Keep going. Lovers of money. I don't think I need to explain that. It's obvious. You want to beat that thing, though? Yeah. It's not just repenting where you haven't tithed and done stuff. It's, Lord, teach me to be a generous person. Yeah. Go on the exciting journey of friendship with God. And know that some people might be farther along than you. Learn from them. Yeah. Man, Zach, Kayla, you guys are so generous. I feel like you guys are always thinking about others, getting them gifts. What happened? Tell me the story. Well, when we were in lack sometimes, I feel the Lord asked us to be generous anyway. Oh my goodness, I'm learning about the generous life. And then God came through. Learn from people. Cut off the love of money. Establish a pattern of generosity. Let's keep going. Proud. God opposes the proud. Gives grace to the humble. Sometimes we think that God... sometimes we think that the enemy is opposing us. And sometimes it's God saying there's a big old chunk of pride in your heart. And I got to deal with that before I can elevate you to the next season. You haven't been able to celebrate your brother, him preaching, him getting breakthrough, because you're too focused on it's my time. It's me time. I'm a better preacher. I'm a better evangelist. I've tilled more hours in the Word. I know that because... Oh, wait, I actually don't know that, but I think I do. Because I think I know my friend's secret life with God. Exalting of self. The Lord can't partner with that. It's not in his character. It's impossible for him to. Lord, whatever you have for me, Lord, I'm here for you anyway. Yeah. Ministry is not the prize. You're the prize. You're my vision. Yeah. Do with me whatever you would. Yeah. Are you catching the rhythm?
Yeah.
You know how much less stressful it is when you trust God with your ministry calling?
Yeah.
I can share, because honestly, I feel like this has been a wrestle for me for a long time. It's not like something that just disappears right away. But the times where I'm more concerned about, like, what am I doing? What about this? What? And I get my vision and my eyes off of the beautiful one, Jesus. And I stop thinking that he's going to take care of it. And I just stop obeying and stop serving and stop going low is a time that joy leaves.
Yeah.
Too focused on self, too proud. I'm 34 now. It's above me. I don't have to do that anymore. Man, my favorite leaders are those who never leave doing the simple stuff. Yes. That they're with the people doing it anyway. Okay, I'm done on that one. You guys having fun?
Yeah.
I know you've learned joyful repentance, so we won't do that. We'll just keep going. Okay, I'm just going to read the list, and then maybe we'll hit a few. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Proud, arrogant, abusive. Andy hit this one, made me laugh. Disobedient to their parents. Okay, this is a side note. This is hilarious. I want to paint the picture that I believe an obedient, holy life can bring pleasure to the heart of God. I want to explain this. Nothing that you do will change how much he loves you. You cannot be separated from the love of Christ. There's nothing, there's no power in hell, there is nothing that is possible for you to be separated from his love. When I think about Parker and Zion, my two kids, there is nothing that they could do that by the end of my, I'm falling, I mean, maybe, you never know, but there's nothing they could do that I was like, oh, I'm going to love these guys less, or I'm going to stop loving my children. However, there are certain things that Parker and Zion do that brings pleasure to my heart.
Wow.
It doesn't change my love for them, but it brings pleasure to my heart. I wake up in the morning. Wow. Good morning, boys. Hey, Dad. Guys, I made you eggs and toast for breakfast. No! Parker runs over to the breakfast table, hits the thing, eggs and toast on the floor. My smile is gone. I have departed from the happy, holy life. It's okay. I'm gonna show forgiveness. I love my son. Pleased in him. Parker, do you want something else for breakfast? No! I don't like you. What did you say to me? Now he's not only just saying no, he's in rebellion. Wouldn't it be strange in relationship if I was like, oh, no big deal, Parker. Don't worry about it. And I never disciplined and taught him the right way to behave. That would not be loving. Sometimes we think when God disciplines us, it's like, oh, that hurts, Lord. He's like, yeah, I want you to remember. So you don't do something that's going to kill you in the long run. I'm trying to save your life. Teach Parker next day, come down. Parker, Zion, remember, we're grateful for breakfast. I made you eggs and toast for breakfast. Thanks, Dad. This has happened before. They go, thanks, Dad. I said, do you want some eggs too, Zion? Of course. Big smile. I cannot explain. This is so strange, but that smile, that of course, that thank you, does something to the heart of a father. I'm like, they're grateful. They're grateful. You come to your time with God. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Maybe it moves his heart way more than you think it does. Maybe the holy life is fun because you're actually more connected to God than you think you are. And his heart is moved. It's moved when you're in obedience. Then they sit down at the table. They don't knock the food off. They go like, this tastes good. Dad, these eggs are the best I've had. You think so? Okay, make sure you eat the whole thing. Sure, Dad. This is a rare occasion. It doesn't happen all the time. Eats the whole meal, they're done. As a father, I am so encouraged by their obedience. You're not earning God's love. Don't hear me wrong. Don't hear what I'm not saying today. You're not earning God's love. But I do believe in the happy, holy life, that when you are following in obedience, you can bring pleasure to his heart. You can move his heart. Otherwise, why would Hebrews 11:6 say, without faith, it's impossible to please him? That must mean that with faith, you can please his heart. Yes. It's not a performance, not an earning. It's something that's by grace, by the Holy Spirit anyway. But when you yield to that, when you say yes to that, you got to know that you are moving the heart of God. And there is nothing more exciting than touching his heart. There is nothing more exciting that this side of eternity, when we see through a glass dimly and we don't have the full picture, when you give costly yeses, when you worship through grief, when you say no to sin, when you do so many things that are contrary to what your flesh wants to do, you can move the heart of God in a way that for all of eternity, you'll look back and say, I'm so glad I said yes to that. All right. So be obedient to our parents. That was a fun one. I really am almost done now. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous. Oh man, don't make me go off on slander.
Come on.
I just need to process with you, Chase. Well, what about? Not a person, right? Yes, about a person. I need to process something that just happened today. Oh, have you talked to them yet? No. But because you're a leader, I'm going to go to you first. Whoa, hit the brakes. You haven't gone and talked to somebody? You're offended at him? You need to make something right? Go to them first. But I don't know how. Just pray. Get the heart of love. Ask Jesus for love and mercy. Go try. If that fails, then come to me. Man, I don't want to say... You're talking with a friend. I don't want to say anything bad, but I think this is just healthy so that we know. Junior... I don't want to knock the guy, but I don't think he's really been in his word the last few weeks. And I think he definitely needs to stop being on greenhouse sets because of that. And I can't confirm this, but I'm pretty sure he said that he doesn't like Chase's style. Excuse me? Lindy bought me these clothes. Totally made up story, slander, but it incites a heart, separates close friends, right? Gossip will separate friends. We already hit this, but we've got to be the craziest celebrators of other believers, of other churches, of other movements. We've got to have way less attack of each other, way more celebration. All right. You guys are catching the rhythm. And can't you guys see how much more fun the holy life is? Isn't a gossip, slander culture so terrible? Because then you walk into a room and you don't know who to trust. But if you go somewhere and someone's like, hey, they're not in the room. If they were here, would you say that?
Come on.
And you just cut it off?
Right.
You're like, dang. They would probably have my back the same way. I can trust that guy.
Right. Yeah.
They don't talk about me when I'm not in the room.
Right.
Amen? Okay, I think I'm done. You guys want to pray through a few things real quick?
Yeah.
And we'll take a break?
Please.
Or should we end the list? It's just so crazy.
Yeah, end the list.
Without self-control. Don't we make that excuse? I couldn't help it. The fruit of the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, faith. My kids sing the song. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Self-control. I couldn't help but chase. I was just scrolling for 6 hours. Put the phone down. Go for a walk without your phone. Get addicted to the scripture. Go for a prayer walk more than one day. Don't tell me you can't get set free from your phone. I'm not saying there's cases of ADHD. Hear me right. But we give way too much credit to the enemy.
Yes.
Last time I checked, it's the Holy Spirit that lives inside each and every one of us.
Yay.
And if His power is inside of us, then the power to overcome is inside of us.
Yes.
We got to stop glorifying the enemy bigger than our God. Yes. You can have self-control. You can win.
Amen.
Amen. Brutal. Not loving good. It's dangerous when you call things evil good. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. You want to walk in the power of God? Say yes to a sanctified holy life. Amen? All right, let's stand. Okay, no one feels heavy, right? No one's in trouble?
No.
Everyone's pumped just to clear out a few things? And can we just have, we celebrated all the salvation, but the way I would love to end this session before we take a break, after we pray a few things, I want us to celebrate that because of the blood of Jesus, we get to live a holy life. We are going to declare with all of our hearts that this is a privilege, that this is a joy, that this is one of the most exciting things in the Christian life, is the invitation to a holy life. So we're going to say yes to it with all of our hearts, but let's pray through a few things, okay? Have we hit sexual sin in the school?
No.
Have we hit it a little bit?
No.
Not even a little bit. Okay. You guys getting stirred up? No, stay standing. I already talked about it enough. Here's the thing with sexual sin. I want to make a comment on this. Because the Bible is very clear on the intensity of sexual sin, right? But the Bible is also very clear on the intensity of the blood of Jesus. There's no sin He can't forgive. There's no heart and soul He can't wash clean. So today, we're going to go after two areas in sexual sin. And after this moment, there's something like, I just need to confess. I just need to pull a leader. I want you to grab a staff at the break and say, I just need to get this off my chest. I've never told anybody. I can't tell you guys. When it was sexual sin, I thought that I was going to be kicked out of every community. I thought I was going to be shunned forever. I was so terrified the first time I told somebody one-on-one what I've actually done. And you know what was crazy? He said, all right, great, let's get it forgiven. And I was like, huh? And then I prayed a 30-second prayer, and I felt a burden leave my shoulders. I said, it was that easy? He said, yeah, the Bible says as far as the east is from the west. That's how far He removes your transgressions from you. You're forgiven. So we're going to go after sexual sin real quick. Does that sound good? All forms too. We're going to go after pornography. We're going to go after any premarital stuff. Anyway, you've messed around, done things you shouldn't have done. We're just going to clear, get a clean slate. We're just going to go fresh whiteboards for our life. That good with everybody? Now, listen, if this is an area you struggle with in, we're still going to pray violently and wildly as if you're interceding on those who do. So no matter where you're at on the spectrum, we're going violent because this spirit alone is trying to take our generation out. We are a way too over-sexualized generation. Kids are growing up seeing and hearing and knowing way too much at way too young of an age. So we have got to start taking ground back in this area and setting a standard and a tone of what is possible. Man, I can feel the demons hate this. Okay. And you're really going to be washed clean today, okay? So say this with me. Jesus!
Jesus!
I repent!
I repent!
For all sexual sin!
For all sexual sin!
Sins of pornography.
Sins of pornography.
Sins of masturbation.
Sins of masturbation.
Sins of premarital sex.
Sins of premarital sex.
Every way.
Every way.
I sin.
I sin.
Sexually.
Sexually.
I ask for forgiveness.
I ask for forgiveness.
Right now.
Right now.
I ask.
I ask.
For the powerful.
For the powerful.
Blood of Jesus.
Blood of Jesus.
To wash me clean.
To wash me clean.
And I receive.
And I receive.
A clean slate.
A clean slate.
Today.
Today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I am purified.
I am purified.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
It's real.
It's real. Yeah.
Okay. Now remember, I had to establish this. So, for those of you, we're going to pray one thing. If you feel like I say yes to anything you ask me to do, Jesus, to get victory. Wow. Dangerous prayer, because he will ask. He is your friend, and he is jealous for our attention. Yeah. Right? He's jealous for us. So we're going to give him permission. Now Lord, we give you permission. Anything I got to do to put up healthy boundaries for my relationship with you to thrive, I'm giving you permission, Holy Spirit. Come speak to me. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Say this with me. Jesus, I give you permission, to speak, and show, whatever boundaries,
I need.
For victory.
For victory.
Flip phone.
Get rid of computer.
Stop hanging out with that person alone late at night. Okay, hold on. Let's go there. Sometimes we're dumb on purpose. I don't know what happened. It was 12:31 and we were just hanging out and all of a sudden we were naked. It was crazy. Pleasant boundaries. This is a side note. No, this is serious, guys. This is serious on this one.
Yeah.
Do you know that Billy Graham would not go into a room alone with another woman besides his wife?
Amen.
He refused. He said, I don't even want the possibility, even an inkling of somebody else to think that I would be with anyone else besides my wife. And that's so religious. Really, the millions and millions and millions of people saved. The purity of life that he left, the example that he left in a generation that needs more leaders that ended well and ended purely. Praise God for Billy's religious line. How about it was a holy line? I wonder if there's some holy lines that your friends will make fun of you for. That people will say, hey, pull it back. It's been harder to get a hold. Whatever it is, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I want the Holy Spirit to lead you because the lines that you establish will bless your whole life.
Wow.
I'm going to wrap up and take a break in just a second. You might need to end an unhealthy relationship. But Chase, I love this person. You don't know. Well, if you love them, then cut it off and start afresh until you're both walking in holiness. This is where I lean. People got different opinions on this. Anyway, I'll stop there. Okay, only other thing, I love hitting this one when we hit sexual sin. I know we talked about shame a little bit. Did we hit that in the first couple days? We did hit that one, right? Can we punch it one more time? Because here's the deal. Shame is different than sexual sin. Shame is the enemy that comes after you that tells you that it's better for you to keep going, that's the holy thing to do. I was doing that, guys, over and over and over again in this area. I share this a lot when I preach, but I'll never forget when the Holy Spirit confronted me. He said, Chase, when are you going to stop making your sin bigger than my blood? And I said, right now, Lord. He said, yeah, you agreeing with the lies of shame doesn't allow me to get glory for what I accomplished on the cross. Give me glory in your life and get rid of shame. You feel that? So we're just going to tell shame to stop coming knocking. We're going to repent for any way we let those lies. I know you've already done it. We're going to hit it one more time. Sound good? Say this with me. Jesus' name.
We repent.
For all shame.
How we've
agreed.
That we should beat ourselves up.
Over and over again.
When God just wants to forgive me.
And set me free.
So
shame.
Get out of my life.
In Jesus' name.
I'm washed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Man, that's good. Okay. All right. It's a different subject. It's the last one. I gave you a giant list, guys. There's a number of things that are possible to go through. Does that make sense? You saw how big the list is. I want that list to inspire. Like, I wonder how much I can look like Jesus by the end of my life. Don't look at it as condemnation. No, no. Look at these lists as like, how far can I run from that list? Lord, when I'm 80, I want to think less about myself and more about you and others than I ever have before. Lord, when I'm 80, I want to be more generous with my finances than I was when I was 34. Lord, when I'm 80, I want to be blessing with my mouth. No slander, wouldn't even come close. No gossip, Lord. I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to be full of blessing. Yes, yes. Let these things be invitations, right? And let's be violent with cutting off. We're going to cut off one last thing. We're going to cut off all gossip and slander, okay? Yeah. Did we already do that, though? Not really? Okay. Listen, guys, this is an easy one in Christian communities. I don't know why. It just feels like it is.
Witchcraft.
Yeah, it's just it's witchcraft. It's just, it is demonic. So, we're just going to repent of every way we've allowed gossip and slander in our own life. Any way we've gossiped against friends. Any way we've gossiped about sinners who sin because they don't know Jesus. Anyway, yeah, no, sometimes we're so surprised, aren't we? Can you believe what that lost sinner did? He sinned like he was lost. Yeah, he doesn't know Jesus. Let's stop being angry lost and start loving them to Christ and let the Holy Spirit convict him and set him free. So, okay, which you guys already are. You're already there. So, we're just getting rid of all gossip, okay? Say this with me. In Jesus' name,
I
repent.
For all gossip.
All slander.
Every way.
I vented.
Out of bitterness and offense.
About another person.
Before going to them or Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord.
Everywhere I've used my mouth
to spread lies
or partial
untruths.
Here's what I mean by that. Sometimes we say things about people because we're frustrated with them or we're jealous of them.
Man, did he really lead 4 people to Christ?
You can do that up here in this line.
Do they have a discipleship plan? I think Johnny's just a little emotional, probably an emotional salvation. I don't know if it was real. I'll disciple him. I'll work on him. Oh, man. Be careful of religious rhetoric, right? So, let's say this. Anyway,
I've slandered
the exploits of another.
So I'd be more comfortable in my own skin.
I'm sorry, Lord.
I repent.
I'm washed.
I receive forgiveness.
Jesus,
make my mouth
an instrument of blessing.
I want to
bless
all my life,
the rest of my life,
in Jesus' mighty name.
Holy Spirit,
let every word
that comes out of me
come from you,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, stay standing. Here's how we're going to end today. This is fun, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm done preaching. I'm done praying. But here's what I want you to do. We're going to take a break for the next. We'll come back 11:50. Is that okay, Nick? Or whoever's next? We'll come back 11:50.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.